So we were talking, Diana and I, with Tricia last week over lunch about, you know, how you find a new church. Yeah, that's important. And there are people who find churches by going to one church one Sunday and go to 12 different churches and try to make a determination. And we talked about, and she has a great plan, she and Lou, that they're going to give, like, you go to a church for 6 weeks, because you know what you see the first Sunday doesn't tell you everything. As she shared, she said it might be their worst Sunday and they had all technical difficulties and something was up and the pastor was sick and who knows, or maybe it was their very best and they don't have any like that, and over the course of time you find out what's really up. Because let's face it, that last song where we cry out, I need you, churches need, we need you all the time. We're all fractured and we come together and we bring our fractures with us, and sometimes it spills over and is upsetting. And as we continue in our series 3D, which is aimed at living the full life God intended through offering yourself up to serve in some capacity that God helps identify and the church helps identify, we need to remember that the church we look to as the example, which is the first church ever, right, in the Christian era, which is the book of Acts church, Acts chapter 2, they weren't perfect. In our minds, we remember the high spots, but the Bible doesn't just record the high spots. It records some low spots too, and I'm so thankful that we can know that throughout, you know, history, we've wrestled with the same things, and God is faithful. As these songs we've been singing remind us, He is faithful to us no matter what. So we're going to look at the roots of serving, or serving roots. And it's important that we have roots to be attached to, because sometimes the stuff up on top withers, like the lack of rain we've had lately. And plants start to wither up and die, but if there are strong roots, they can make it through. And let's face it, the subject of serving comes along with it times of challenge. The reward that God gives us, though, in the fullness of the life we have, if you go back a few weeks, we talked about His dimensions. He's fully dimensional. He created us to be fully dimensional, and part of that, and I think something that sometimes gets neglected, is that role of stepping up into service and achieving that fullness. So we're going to look at serving roots from the first century church, the book of Acts church. We're going to look at, like, trouble. Not deep, deep trouble, but I think we could pull some things out of here to help us as we move closer to trying to identify, where should I serve and how should I serve in the church, so we make sure we're meeting one another's needs and the needs of the community. So if you got a handout, a paper copy here today, if you downloaded one online, or if you're looking on one on your computer or TV screen, the first blank is needs. The needs are revealed. True needs are revealed. Do you remember we talked about the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago falling down, and 3,000 people were added to the number, and they were meeting in one another's homes, and it was glorious, and it was full of power, and it was full of provision. You know, people sold their stuff, and so that there was enough money to go around, and everybody had everything. Well, everybody did at first, and then we pick up the story here in Acts chapter 6:1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So even in the first church that we look at as our example, we also find this example, that when people get together, needs happen. And no doubt, there was a long enough time that some feelings were hurt before it finally came to the surface. Like, we're like pimples sometimes, right? Our problems develop, and there's a little red swelling, and then it comes to, and then finally we thought, oh, we got to do something about that. Because we're human beings, and that's kind of the way we do, trying to protect ourselves. So they didn't have like a big explosion, which sometimes happened, but they did have it. Suddenly it became, you know, apparent. Somebody's being neglected in this beautiful thing called church, where everyone's provided for. Well, wait a minute, somebody wasn't. So needs are the base and the big root of service, and we talked about that in week two. In week two, we ended with the question, what needs get my attention? As we begin to pray about where we ought to serve, I hope you're developing that list. What needs naturally appeal to you? That will help us identify how you are gifted and what God is saying to you about where you should serve in His kingdom. And so they experienced the same thing. Needs were revealed. That's just the way it goes. We want them to be revealed, by the way. So just a little plug. If you have needs, so I'm the kind of guy that I hope somebody will somehow see through my thick skull and be able to read my mind and see my need and come and ask me if they can help me with it. I'll never share it on my own without Jesus' help. Let's not be like that. Number two, gifting is elevated. Acts 6:2. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program." That's a little blunt in the NLT, but I love it nonetheless. So this is the beginnings of, wait a minute, there are some people that are supposed to do certain things, which means certain other things they're not supposed to do. So this idea, before Paul preached about it, and we'll be, when I get back, so Diana and I start our vacation tomorrow, we'll be back two Sundays from today, back in town after next Sunday, but we'll actually be digging into some of what the Bible says about gifts and what they are and how we can start putting those things to use. But here is like the first time where there was a delineation, where there was a, wait a minute, you mean we don't all do everything all the time? No. There are certain things. The apostles, those 12, so Judas, the one Judas who betrayed Christ, was out and they voted Matthias in. And so those 12 were sent specifically by Jesus to spread that word and be over the church. So they said, okay, what's going on here is we got to find out particular people to do that. Week one, I know I'm going back in the wrong order, but that's the way it works out according to the verse. Week one, we ask the question, what could my good things be? As we pray and begin to ask, so where should I serve? We talked about what Paul said in Ephesians about the fact that God created us to do good things, and he created those good things before he created us for us to do them. Let that sink in for a minute. That's a lot of words, and it's fast. God created us to do certain things, and God created those things for us to do before he created us. So what could those things be? Lord, is the prayer. What could those good things be? That is, what kind of things am I good at? And what kind of things am I drawn to as far as being able to do things like that? So we have needs revealed. We have gifting elevated. There's no new news here. Number three, qualifications outlined. So it's not just, hey, you, go do that. We begin to get the idea, right? And it's good that it happens in the very beginnings of the early church to begin to think about that. So Acts 6, 3 and 4, and so brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Again, the gifts is we're teachers and preachers of the word. We need to find somebody who will serve. And so we need to have qualifications. So as we help find where each of us should serve, we talk about what's required of certain kinds of service. Somebody who serves on our security team will have different kinds of qualifications than somebody who serves with Patty in the ministry in the kitchen for snacks and other things that happen in this church and every other place that will help to try to define for you to get you to the place where you're living the 3D full life, which includes serving. Don't miss the fact that the kind of qualifications called for to serve food to widows are pretty deep. He didn't say, oh, you need to know how to prepare a meal, or you need to know how to make a nice schedule. The qualifications that came about that they wanted to make sure were happening in these servers were respected, full of spirit, and wisdom. Let me just say, as we talked about last week, all your service matters to God. It's important. How we serve as well as what we do is important because it's all a witness and an imitation to show other people what God is really like. That's the bottom line for that. But what we see in this is, generally speaking, the biggest qualification to serve in one context in the church, because I'm going to talk about another one in a second here, but is a spiritual health. Spiritual health is key in any kind of service. So this is about journey. It is not about destination. We have to say that over and over again. I'm sure you've been in places yourself, in churches, in organizations that tried to preach perfection and that you couldn't, and frankly, where it comes to this issue, I probably have heard over the course of my 30-some years more people saying, I'm not qualified to help. Well, the biggest thing is, are you on a journey toward Christ? That's a spiritually healthy place to be. Doesn't mean you've appropriated all of what it means. It doesn't mean you don't have hiccups. It doesn't mean you don't mess up, even sometimes with an intentional decision and act. What is required when we serve faithfully God through church? So God has to be the end result, or we'll you know, burn out real quick. We don't want any kind of burnout, but we'll burn out real quick if we don't do that. We need to have the spiritual life growing. That's why I challenge all the time my leadership team. What are you reading? How's your prayer life? If I've talked to you at any length, I've probably asked you that question, and I will, because I need to know. I want you to know. I'm not saying that right. You need to be on the journey, and I just want to challenge. I need people to challenge me to do that as well. So this is today's question. Even though there's two more points after this, this is today's question. In week one, we ask, what could my good things be? As you look at how you might be able to be involved and ask God to show you. Week two, we talked about what needs get my attention. That was last week. So you are made a certain way, and certain things will stick out to you that other people will look right by and they won't even see. And you ask God, what needs get my attention? Today's prayer or question is, how am I cultivating a healthy spiritual journey? This is so important. I cannot understate it. I know I can say it too often because you'll get tired of me saying it, and you'll get tired of hearing it, but it cannot be understated. There are lines, if you have a handout, for you to consider starting now and in a prayer life. Lord, what do you want me to do to move closer to you? So having said that about qualifications for service, I want you guys to know that we are searching for places on every team where someone who doesn't yet know Jesus can also have a part. So this really applies to Christian folks, people who are following Jesus, that in that journey, because the call to service is different, the intensity of the work and the opposition from the enemy is different when you are a follower. But God loves all of us and knows all of us, and he created you to do things before you come to him and say yes to him. And I believe we agree as a leadership team, we agree that we want to have you experience what involvement is like in the kingdom of God. And he will use that to draw you closer. So when I say these qualifications, you might say, well, I'm not there yet in my faith. I'm really got a bunch of questions, so I shouldn't do anything. Not true. We're not going to have you lead singing or do the prayer instead of Pastor Mike. But there are lots of things. I've actually asked the leadership team members to develop a list of all of the things they can think of in their team that they lead, and include those kinds of positions where we can plug you in. Part of it is about community. I talk about that all the time. You don't know, and like we talked about at the beginning, that the church might look perfect on the outside on the best day that you made it, but you don't know the flaws. Well, until you start to serve and see what that's like and see what we're like, how will you know that the things we declare are genuine? So old-fashioned word now, it maybe not sound like to you, but pre-Christian. You guys remember that? It was like the 1990s when we said we were supposed to be using the word pre-Christian. That means you're about to, and we really believe. I want you to know there's a spot for you here. We want to connect you, and that will still, you can still ask your questions. What needs get my attention, and what are the good things I could do? Because God has still put you in a place to do that. So I'm encouraging you to spend some time on this question, believers especially. But if you're not yet a believer, you can ask those questions too. Listen, it is false to say, I used to hear this from being a little kid. You've probably heard this too. The first prayer God hears is a prayer of repentance when you become a Christian. What? I mean, he doesn't hear me going, are you there? He does. He does. He knows you. He loves you. Ask those questions. He'll lead you in. This is about being full in life. You know what it's like to pursue a life that it ends up being dry and dusty and unfulfilling and unfilling. It's like eating kale. It goes in, it goes down, but like there's gotta be some meat somewhere. Well, that's life that God calls us to, and we pursue things and money and prestige and power and popularity and a bunch of host of other things, and they never, never make us go truly. But following God in fullness makes us go, ah. Now, it doesn't mean we rest and there's a place that we just don't do anything, but that's the beauty of it. The right hunger to continue to pursue in his direction. It's a marvelous thing. You don't know it until you've experienced it. You won't experience it until you say yes to Jesus, and God has you on a path to that. And I am committed to letting him do his work in your life. And for those of us who have already done it, we just need to continue to be there. God, what is next? Where am I going? So let's just review the three we've got, and we'll end with the last two. Number one, needs are revealed. That's the way it works. We need to know about them. Two, gifting is elevated. That means this is not just do whatever you want. Let's figure out what you're made to do. Gifting. Qualifications are outlined, and all along you will get different qualifications. If you're in the praise team, the qualifications are different than if you're doing nursery and all the other things. So number four, identification is made. That is, the needs were highlighted, and we need somebody who's gifted, and these are the qualifications. Who then will do it? Who will do it? This is Acts 6:5. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; and Nicholas of Antioch. So, this is where we're heading, folks, as we continue to flesh this out and talk about what it means to serve. Because it's not just like doing somebody a favor. We do need to do those things. And we're our lives in Christ will be more than just finding a, like, this is the ultimate. We are asked to step outside of gifting and our measured time and what we've planned all the time to do little things on the side. You might call them extras, but they're really not. They're still part of those plans that God has made for us. But there is the identification where you can go, and as I've said here, and we'll say it again over and over and over, permission to fail, because part of the process is, I think I'd be good at this. And, okay, well, we'll have you serve in there, and then in a couple weeks you go, maybe not, or maybe the leader of the team goes, something ain't working right, let's revisit this. And if that happens, we go, okay, I don't think that's your gift, let's find this. Identification is made, and here's the thing we never know. This is unexpected. We don't know where God's leading us. These were chosen to give food to widows. Now, in most of our thinking, if you're like me, it's like, okay, that's an easy one. You know, not a lot of spiritual implication, you know, not a lot of complication. Somebody needs food, I can get them to it. But of these people, these seven who were chosen to do this job, two of them were standouts and moved on to greater things. Stephen, we read more of in the book of Acts, and he actually was the first person in the New Testament era, in the Christian church era, that gave his life for his faith. And he was right on the front line. You don't know where you get in, where God's going to lead you. Don't be afraid of that. Because where he leads, he provides. And Philip, whose story I just read yesterday morning in my daily devotions, who was a wonderful witness that led someone from another country to Jesus, and that person went home and spread Jesus to another group of people. That wasn't serving the meal. Getting the schedule, calling meal train, right, Patty? We use meal train here to help. God moved them. But five, we never hear from again in the New Testament. We don't know what happened. We don't know how their service went. There are traditions in some churches about a couple of these guys, but the rest of those five, we never hear another mention. When we step into service, we need to know he will lead us where we need to go. And it might be something huge. It might be a carrying out of that duty with faithful excellence. But that's good. And that's what God wants from us. So the identification will be made, and we're going to help you do that. And number five, consecration is carried out. This also elevates the importance of service in my mind. Because we remember what was going on. They didn't say, will you come and be the associate pastor? Are you gonna lead worship, and we're gonna consecrate you? Are you gonna be a street preacher? No, this was making sure those Greek widows got their food. So Acts 6:6, the seven were presented to the apostles who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. Two asterisks in your handout. Valuing service. This values service. We value your service. We are looking for ways to recognize and let you know that what you do is valued. Often what happens in a church, you have a role, and you know the old saw is you get to do it for like all your life. It's like a Supreme Court, you know, nomination and appointment. You can never not do it. You know, once a kindergarten teacher, you do it till you die. But we're not going to do that here. We value what we do, and we want to make sure we value that all the time. And also, what this consecration recognizes is that there's warfare. There's warfare in service, even at the level of making sure people get fed. The enemy hates when we do what God loves, and he comes against that. Subtle and full force. And he alternates that and mixes that in. You're never free from his attack. And we need to value and commission, in a sense, people who serve. I'm trying to avoid the word volunteer. We're trying to erase that from our church dictionary because too many people use it and it means too many things. It's serving people to God's glory through the church. And we are going to do those kinds of things. When someone new comes on a team, we're going to have prayer. We're going to consecrate. We're going to make sure you know this is a spiritual endeavor. You need to be protected. And it's part of the community, too, that when the enemy does strike, you can run to your team members and say, this is a weird thing. Because sometimes it's weird, like, right? That's how I know God's moving right now. I don't know exactly what he's doing in our midst, but he is, because there's weird things going on. And you think, what in the heck? And then God delivers as you pray and rest in him. It's really important. And the last thing is, why in the world is this all so important? Because there's two sides to this. 3D, I want you to live the full life, but following Christ is not about self. So it's that carefulness we have to take. Like if we were stuck on the first song, I'm a child of God, you could become prideful, right? Well, the Creator made me. We can't stay there. So why do we do this? Here's the effect. Number 6 in Acts 6, verse 7. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. The word of God spread among just the people who needed it, but among the elites who were against. Significant that Luke includes this statement, many of the Jewish priests, because that was the prime against the priest of Jews. No, you can't. God is only one. You can't have Jesus the Son and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And they didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was. Even they were coerced and convinced, not by us, by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because serving happened. This is the lesson here. Because there were roots in serving. I imagine, like any other job, James Thurber used to say that the most delightful job he could think of, and that is batting baseballs through the MetLife, I can't remember what the building was, in New York City would lose its luster after a while. Anything you do can become a duty and work if we don't remember there's roots to this, there's reason to this. So this just keeps us where we're called to serve, because sometimes service can be withering. And we survive those times of drought because we remember, just like the first century church, they had needs like we have needs, and they were gifted just like we are gifted. There are qualifications to each kind of service we have, and we will provide those for you and encourage you to help us develop them, because that always needs to be changing in light of different needs that are presented and how they change in culture. And we'll make identification, and we're going to consecrate you for service. And I want everyone who does anything to know you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as you do some things that might not seem like their ministry items, because people will come to know Jesus through that collective, combined, surrendered effort. So I'm going to use an example today. So we know that, by the way, Jason is here. It's good to see Jason. We prayed for him. We continue to pray for him as he gets through family issues and asks for the Lord's wisdom, but we know that in a couple of weeks he's going to be done being the custodian here. He and his family, let's say, because this is a family enterprise. Now, so we've actually posted that job at $11.45 an hour for 7.5 hours a week as we analyze it. We've looked through job descriptions. We're asking for someone who could do this, you know, like the job has to be done after 6 o'clock on Friday and before 9 o'clock on Sunday, depending on if somebody's using the building. But as I worked through the job description and what Jason and his family have been doing, I realized there are actually 7 little modules included in that job that if 7 people decided they could serve by doing that one thing for 1 hour on a weekend, all of that would be done. I'm actually praying about that while we try to find someone who is paid, that there may be 7 people who will say, I'll do the vacuuming of the sanctuary and hall. There might be another person who says, I'll clean 2 bathrooms here. There might be somebody else who will clean the 2 bathrooms there. And we will consecrate you if you come forward and say, I think I can serve there. I think God is calling me. I think that's something I'm gifted to do. I think that's one of the needs I see. I'm wired that way. I want people to know who serve in that area. So when we find somebody and we'll pay them to do that. But someone who would serve as an unpaid server, boy, it's hard not to say volunteer. This is important stuff. It is missional stuff. So, are you asking these questions? I hope you are. Let me review them from week 1. What could my good things be? Week 2, what needs get my attention? And today's, how am I cultivating a healthy spiritual journey? Don't just, you know, like, plan that out yourself. Share these things with other people who know you and know parts of you better than you know yourself. We all need that because we all have blind spots, because this is where we're headed. We're in a world of darkness and we carry the message of light, which will eclipse this age. The light is forever. The darkness is here, and if people die in the darkness, they remain forever in the darkness. You enter into fullness when, with the other things we talk about routinely as part of the faith life, serve. You then become fully dimensional and able to carry the light the best way possible in this world. And the result, the effect that we talked about in 1 Corinthians 9:8 comes true. People come to Jesus. Invest in this process as we continue to identify. In a couple of weeks, we'll start that, and for a couple of weeks, how you ought to serve. And I'm going to pray, and if somebody would go down and get Tricia and tell her the time for her to be here is coming, thank you very much. Would you join me and bow your head? Lord, I thank you every week and every day in my preparation time that we are not here to hear from me, that you have some things to tell us always and things we desperately need to hear, many of them that free us from wasting time and thought on certain things that we have no control over and that you've declared yourself a control over, but also these investment things that we count ourselves blessed to be sons of the King and daughters of the King. But you didn't just save us so that we could be called something like that. It is to continue your work, which you said when you left we would do more of than you did while you were here. Greater things. And I know, Lord, one of these is this ability to recognize that we have a place to invest our time and our talents and our treasure. And it fills us in our walk with you and enables us to provide light for people walking in darkness, as well as encouraging the community of faith. So as we continue this journey into a 3D life, I pray, Lord, you would help us to recirculate those three questions or thoughts, and you'd help us to spend time and include some trusted people around us to help us already be gaining an excitement about what we ought to be doing in your kingdom before we even figure out maybe what it is. That you would give us wisdom as a church to understand what you're calling us to do and the kinds of ministries you're calling us to do, because you know it is our default to seem to want to do everything that everyone else is doing too. But I believe, Lord, in your kingdom, just like you have specifically gifted us as individuals, each church in a community is gifted to do certain kinds of things. We want to know what ours is here at LFM Church. Help us, Lord, to see. And Lord, what we pray for is that people will come to you. If there's anyone today who hasn't yet come to you, Lord, I pray that they would take that, what seems like a huge step, but just that step to say, today, Lord, I'm accepting you. I'm turning from my sin because you paid for it, and I don't have to walk in it anymore, and I'm starting my walk with you today. And that they would communicate with someone else for prayer support. Thank you for this portion of our time together. Continue to minister, Holy Spirit, to us as we celebrate now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.